بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأ العشر الأواخر من سورة الكهف أصم من فتنة الدجال أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رسائل درود شريف اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد Honorable elders and respected brothers, I have recited a verse from Surah Al-Kahf and a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relating to Surah Al-Kahf. And this Surah Al-Kahf is a very, very important surah of the Quran. There has been a lot of encouragement for us to recite this surah, particularly on Fridays. And it is also a surah, parts of it and portions of it should be recited on a daily basis, because it is through this surah that we will gain a lot of benefits, we will gain a lot of rewards. And there are tremendous amount of lessons and inspirations in this particular surah. The Surah Al-Kahf was already mentioned in the previous scriptures. In the Torah, it has already been mentioned about Surah Al-Kahf. And a name has been given to Surah Al-Kahf in the Torah, which was revealed upon Musa alayhi salam. A name was given to the Surah Al-Kahf in the Torah. The name of Surah Al-Kahf in the Torah is Al-Ha'ila. Al-Ha'ila. That is the one that becomes the barrier. It is the surah of the barrier. Why is it called a barrier? Because it is a barrier between a person and destruction in the hereafter, between a person and lot of mischief and fitnas and evil that will arise in the latter times. This surah is that barrier. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding the virtues of the surah, has mentioned that the person who reads the surah on a Friday, it becomes a light for him that will light up his heart or his life. There is no mention of what it will light up, but it will light up for him. So it will mean anything. Could light up his heart, it will light up his life. It will light up between this Jumu'ah and the next Jumu'ah. A whole week of light. You will receive a whole week of light by virtue of reading the surah on a Friday. And additionally, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding certain portions of the surah. من قرأ العشر الأواخر من سورة الكهف عصم من فتنة الدجال. The one who reads the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf will be safeguarded and protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the fitna of Dajjal. And in one narration, it has been mentioned the first 10 verses. So there are two views, two narrations. The best would be to combine both and try to read the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf and the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf on a daily basis, if possible. That will be our barrier and our safeguard and protection against the fitna of Dajjal. In some narrations it comes that man hafiza, one who memorizes these 10 verses. So the best and the ideal would be, if possible, to memorize the entire Surah Al-Kahf. May Allah inspire us. And it's all about determination and willpower. A person can climb the highest peaks on earth. People climb Mount Everest. They put their lives at risk. Many have died attempting to climb a mountain, what did they achieve really? It was just name, fame, glory, and maybe some kind of, achievement of a dream or a vision. But that is all. If people can climb mountains and they can swim through the oceans, then these things are achievable. But it's all about determination. We need determination. Let us be determined, inshallah, that I will memorize Suratul Kahf. No matter how old I am, I must at least attempt to memorize the whole surah. That makes it very easy for us to recite it on Fridays, because we already memorized it. If not, then at least try to memorize the first 10 verses and the last 10 verses. It is not difficult, really. 20 ayats of Quran. How difficult can it be to memorize 20 ayats of the Holy Quran? And the trick of memorization is frequent recitation. If a person reads certain verses over and over and over again, automatically it comes onto his tongue. And when it's on his tongue and he's listening to his own reading, it starts settling in his heart. And that is how a person is able to memorize quite easily. So let us, inshallah, at least make the intention, and the best is to learn the whole Suratul Kahf, inshallah. If not, then at least the first 10 verses and the last 10 verses, at least 20 verses of the surah, and then make the habit of reading it on a daily basis. Because the benefits are tremendous. We will be safeguarded and protected from the fitna of Dajjal. This is such a reality that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned it countless number of times in the ahadith about the fitna of Dajjal and how trying it will be at that time and how difficult it will be. Abu Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu's narration in the Muslim Sharif, the Sahih al-Muslim, authentic book of hadith, he says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed us on one occasion, min salatil fajri ila salatil zuhr, from the time of fajr till zuhr time, he sat on the mimbar, and we were the audience, and we were listening to him, and he told us, ila ma huwa ka'inun, whatever is going to happen till the end of time, he spelled it out for us, and he unpacked it and unraveled it for us, and then he got down from the mimbar, and he led us in Salatul Zuhr, and he got back onto the mimbar, and he spoke to us from Zuhr till Asr, and then he got down and he read the Salatul Asr, and he got back onto the mimbar, and he addressed from Asr till Maghrib. 12 hours of continuous address to the companions. The teacher was teaching, the master was imbuing them with the knowledge, he was imparting the knowledge, and the students were eagerly taking that knowledge, and they accumulated that knowledge, and they memorized that knowledge, and then they passed it on to the ummah. And what was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking to them about at that time? He was talking to them about all the events that would come from then right till the end of time, and in that the special focus was about the fitna of the Dajjal. Sahaba say, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to us about Dajjal, he spoke to us in such a heightened tone. It was so much of emotion and passion that we felt that Dajjal was just somewhere on the outskirts of Medina about to appear. Because of the gravity and seriousness of the matter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to emphasize it very much. Sahaba used to feel that it is as if he's just outside on the outskirts of Medina in one of the tickets outside. Maybe he's just about to appear. That is the level of passion and emotion in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the fitna of the Dajjal. And that was 1400 years ago. And we are going closer and closer to the time of the appearance of the Dajjal. It's not going to be a light matter, dear friends. It will be the severest test of mankind in the history of the earth, in the history of the world. in the history of humanity, there isn't going to be a greater test of humanity, especially the believers, than the appearance of the Dajjal. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely worried and concerned. And he used to tell the companions from time to time that if I am around, I will dispense of him, and I will dispose of him, and I will get rid of him. But if I am not around, then every believer will have to look after himself and protect his iman, and he will have to do whatever measures he can adopt to safeguard and protect his iman at that time, which will be extremely, extremely trying and very difficult, but every believer will have to undertake that. We know Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not here with us anymore. And now we have to fend for ourselves. We're going to have to protect ourselves. We're going to have to worry about our children and our progeny. When is he going to appear? That only Allah knows. No human being can predict with accuracy. And if it was meant to be known with accuracy, then Allah and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have already informed us about it. But it was by design, it was kept like this, that the exact time should not be known. And so the principle in Islam is abhimu ma abhamahu Allah. We have to take it as, we cannot gesticulate and speculate and estimate and fix a time and say, you know, I think he's going to appear. People have made these kind of predictions and they prove to be completely wrong, completely off the mark. Why? Because they are trying to override the principle of Islam, that Allah has kept it unknown. Now we want to try to make it known. We can never do that. So therefore, if anybody tries to tell you that, you know what, according to our calculations and all of that, we think he's going to appear in 2050, for example, or 2040, or whatever, people already predicted that many years ago he would have appeared. But none of that proved to be true. So, it's not important to know when he's going to appear, but the fact that he's definitely going to appear, that is a reality. And to know that reality, and to know what is going to happen in the time that he appears, it's going to be a very trying time. There will be absolute famine on earth. According to one narration, 3 years before the appearance of Dajjal, in the first year, the earth will produce 2/3 of the food and 2/3 of rain will come down. 1/3 of the food production and 1/3 of the rain supply will be withheld. In the second year, only 1/3 of food production and rain will be found, and the balance of the 2/3 will not be found. And in the third year, there will be absolutely not a single production of food and not a drop of rain. And there will be famine and drought, and mankind around the world will be in a state of absolute desperation and turmoil. You can imagine what a condition it will be at that time. And that is the time when Dajjal will be ready to make his appearance. And when he does come, it comes in the narrations that he will travel with mountains of bread. And he will have water, abundance of water. And if you look at how things are happening in the world today on the international scene, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I make that known to everyone. I don't believe too much in conspiracy theories, because a lot of it is conspiracy and it's a theory. It's just a theory. There are some people who believe it more than even they believe Quran and Sunnah. Astaghfirullah. We should not become so extreme in believing conspiracy theories that we even want to put Allah and Allah's Rasul one side. Some people go so deep into all these conspiracy theories as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has relegated control of this universe to the conspiracy theorists, and they're running the affairs of the world while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got no say. That is a very dangerous state of thinking. And that could shake the very foundations of our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully and totally and completely in control of the affairs of the universe from the beginning of time, today, yesterday, tomorrow, until the end of time. Nobody can take away the control of the affairs of the universe from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how powerful they may appear to be, or how powerful the conspiracy theorists may make them to appear, nobody has got that power. Allah has got the power. And He controls the affairs. And only that what He wills is going to happen. Nobody can make anything happen beyond the will and control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear friends, the reality is that there is a kind of a battle, or a kind of a, we would say, a struggle for the control of water resources in the world. Nations are now fighting for control of water, because that is the real gold. They spoke of the black gold, which was oil. But even more valuable than the black gold is, I would say, the white gold. I'm calling it white gold, the water. That is the most valuable resource, the source of life. Whole system of life depends on water. And there is a race in the world for people, nations, to try and control water resources. Because the more control you have over water resources, the more control you have, the more power you have, the more power you can wield. And the wars of the future will be fought over water. As it is, we know there's a Renaissance dam in Ethiopia. And there's a huge problem between all the neighboring countries that could even erupt in war. So, this is the reality. So Dajjal will have control over the water resources, and he will have control over the food resources, at a time when there will be virtually no food and water. And at that time of desperation, in order to fulfill the hunger and the thirst, people will in desperation begin to follow him, and they will start accepting him. And he will make the claim of Godhood, that I am the creator, and I am the Rabb, and I am the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us that that will be Dajjal's claim. And he said that, remember, he cannot be the creator, he cannot be your Rabb, he cannot be your being of worship, because he is one-eyed, and your Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not one-eyed. Detailed descriptions have been given of Dajjal. Such details that every minute aspect of his life have been mentioned. But obviously the time is not there. Alhamdulillah, by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this year in Ramadan, in the last 10 nights, I had the opportunity to speak on the subject matter, various major signs of Qiyamah, and one session was dedicated to the discussion of the appearance of Dajjal. It was a long speech, a lecture, in which I mentioned all of these things in detail. I have not wished to recount all of that now. But coming back now to the subject matter of today, that is, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that whoever will read or whoever will memorize the first 10 ayahs or the last 10 ayahs of Suratul Kahf, Usima min fitnati Dajjal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will safeguard and protect him from the fitna of Dajjal. Because what will be the fitna of Dajjal in essence? It will be the fitna of our very, very faith, our iman. And in Suratul Kahf, there are four incidents that are mentioned, and each one of these incidents relates to these things. The first incident is about the youth, and it was about protection of the iman and the corrupt environment around them of disbelief, and the measure they adopted to safeguard and protect their iman. And the second incident is about wealth and how wealth corrupts a person. And the third incident is about knowledge. And the fourth incident is about power. The second incident is about the man of the garden, the man of the well, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroyed all his wealth. And the third incident is of Musa and Khazir, alayhi salam, the test of knowledge. And the fourth is about Zulkarnain, the ruler of the earth, of his time, the believing king, the just king, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him power over the whole globe. Global power he wielded. So these are the four tests. And this is what the test of the era of Dajjal will be all about. It will be the test of Iman and faith. It will be the test of wealth. It will be the test of knowledge. And it will be the test of power. These are the four tests of Dajjal. And these are the four tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned now what are the measures to adopt in order to be safeguarded in these four tests. So when it came to the test of faith and the test of corrupt environment, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they took refuge in the cave and they went away and they took refuge in the mountains and they cut themselves off from that corrupt society, and that is how they were able to safeguard their faith. And it came to the test of wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that how the worship of wealth and the love of materialism fails a human being because that wealth can be destroyed. So the person who was addressing this wealthy person was explaining to him that the focus should not be only on wealth, but it should be on the true wealth, the wealth of good deeds, which should be accumulated for a person in the hereafter. And the third test was the test of knowledge. And in the era of Dajjal, scientific knowledge will be at its peak. Every science and discipline of science will be developed to its ultimate. And we can see how the development of science and knowledge is picking up at an incredible pace. It is galloping away at a very fast pace. The new sciences and the new disciplines in science are developing beyond our imagination. Such sciences and such disciplines are now appearing that we never heard the names of such things before. And in a few years' time, people will not have heard the new kind of job descriptions people will have. You wouldn't have even heard of such things in the past. That's the way it's going to go. Science will reach its ultimate peak in the era of Dajjal. And that will be the test of people at that time. People will feel that this is the ultimate in knowledge, but there is a knowledge beyond that knowledge, and that is the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah. The revealed sciences will definitely supersede and trump the man-made sciences. So that is the test of knowledge, and ultimately it is the test of power. Dajjal will wield immense power. He will have control over the globe, but power alone can corrupt a person, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that power will eventually become the downfall of so many mighty and powerful kings, Fir'aun and Namrud and so many other kings of the past, and even in the current time, all of these people will fall into the dustbins of history. So my dear friends, I gave you an overview of the Suratul Kahf, the significance of the surah, the Dajjali era, and the signs that will appear, and the tests that will be there at the time of the Dajjali era. And the most important of all things is to understand the surah, to read its tafsir, inshallah, and to memorize certain portions of the surah, and to recite it regularly, inshallah, so that we can be safeguarded and protected. I hope, inshallah, all will take this message to heart. All say, inshallah. We all will make an effort, inshallah, to read at least a good tafsir of Suratul Kahf, say inshallah. And that we will make an effort to memorize certain portions of the surah, inshallah. And that we will recite it on a regular basis, inshallah. Waffaqana Allahu wa iyyakum lima tuhibbu wa tardha, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina.